This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find our podcast on iTunes. Today, we're exploring some of the unseen factors that change our experiences and behaviors. And there is a scene in To Kill a Mockingbird that speaks to that. It's where Atticus Finch offers young Scout a bit of advice.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
Sir?
Till you climb inside of his skin, walk around in it.
You can't get into somebody else's skin, but you can get pretty close to that experience thanks to new technology. Todd Bookman takes a look at how virtual reality is being used to increase empathy.
The headset kind of looks like a pair of ski goggles with a power cord. It blocks out the real world and ushers in a virtual one. The first thing you see in this 10-minute experience I'm trying out is an apartment, a crummy apartment with crummy furniture. And then a voice explaining that you've just been laid off and you need to sell your couch and TV or you can't make rent. Then the world shifts and you are living in your car. You spin your head and the virtual world spins with you. In the back seat, all your possessions. Suddenly, in the driver's window, there's a flashlight. It's a cop telling you you can't sleep here. On it goes, this first-person look at how someone, really anyone, can become homeless.
We want to see if having this intense, emotionally arousing experience could change the way you think and the way you act towards the homeless.
Elise Ogle of Stanford University helped design this content. It's one of a growing number of virtual reality or VR worlds aimed at changing attitudes and increasing compassion to pulling off that Atticus Finch another man's skin trick. Jeremy Balanson runs Stanford's Virtual Human Interaction Lab, which is researching these social good experiences. He says the reason VR can work like this is because of the deep immersion you get. Put on the headset and you get lost in a way you generally don't when watching a movie or reading a book.
The front of your brain tells you over and over again, this is not real, it can't be real. But the back of your brain, the one that's charged with basic survival, it can't differentiate. And if it looks real, if it sounds real, it treats the experience as real.
This is sound from another VR tool. It's a combat simulation primarily designed for soldiers battling PTSD. Skip Rizzo with the University of Southern California helped develop it. He says it's not just for former soldiers, though. Their family members can also benefit from it.
And it kind of opens their eyes to what it was like for, you know, their loved one to have to go through a wartime conflict. When they're riding in a Humvee and all of a sudden an IED goes off and people start screaming and there's gunfire with tracer firing coming from a building, all in VR, all of a sudden they have a little bit of a deeper sense of what their loved one has gone through.
You can read about the battle for Fallujah in the Times or watch the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan and get a feel for what war is like. But VR can potentially give a truer experience. Exactly what that experience does for us in terms of emotional processing and learning and behavior change isn't yet fully understood. And it's unclear how long the empathetic response may last.
Well, I mean, we've had, 100 years or so of psychology as a science studying human behavior and interaction in the real world. Now we've got to spend a good bit of time studying how humans behave and interact in the virtual world. So we've got a good bit to go, but I think the research will bear fruit.
Video games may still get most of the investment dollars, but there's clearly a push to use this technology for social good. To that end, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation recently awarded Stanford a $300,000 grant to continue studying its homeless scenario. And the United Nations put money behind what's perhaps the gold standard right now for this type of VR. It's a short film called Clouds Over Sidra, about the life of a 12-year-old girl inside a Syrian refugee camp.
We have to play football quickly because there are so many kids waiting to play. Especially now. Unlike home, here in Zaatari, girls can play football too. That makes us happy.
That project's director, artist Chris Milk, spoke about the potential for the technology during a TED Talk last year.
So, it's a machine. But through this machine, we become more compassionate, we become more empathetic, and we become more connected. And ultimately, we become more human.
More human through shared experience, through stepping into someone else's skin for a while. It all sounds like fiction, but it feels like reality. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.